Public Safety Committee is now called to order, and today we will continue our discussion of the bonding bills for public safety. And today we've got a list of additional bonding requests that we will hear. We will not be voting on these requests. And at the end of committee today, committee members will receive a recommend, no recommend list that you can tell us which ones you would recommend and not recommend, and then we will discuss that in tomorrow's committee hearing. So that's the order of the day. So first up, we have Annandale Tactical Training Center, and that's I think Representative Dina Erdahl is not here. But Jeff Herr, Chief Herr, you ready? Welcome to the committee, and please state your name, Chief.
Jeffrey Herr, City of Annandale, Annandale Police.
And you can go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm here for the Annandale Tactical Training Center. We're located 45 miles west of Plymouth from the metro area. This is for $164,000. We're asking for upgrades to an existing facility that we built in 2000. Some of the upgrades that we're looking for is air makeup system, breaching door, sound dampening material, and a moving target system, as well as a rappelling tower and a fire tower for high angle rescue. The main thing with our facility is it's up and running. We started out with about 75 agencies a year. It's decreased a little due to the economy. We're at about 40 teams a year to 40 agencies. One thing that I've heard from the sheriffs and chiefs with sending agencies out our way, it's about $600 a day for a rental, and that's anywhere from 8 to 12 hours. And if they're bringing 20 to 30 officers, that's around $20 to $30 per officer per day. So it's very economical, and the training that or the facility that they're able to use is very high class. Some of the agencies that have been there for in national classes that we've had have rated our facility a 10 out of a 10, being, you know, people from Miami-Dade, people from Chicago, Illinois, and around the country. One thing that I know that the committee, the people have looked at, central location, are we a regional site? As you can see in the handouts, there's various agencies throughout the state that do drive to Annandale, because that was one of the concerns when we put the business plan together back in 2000. Would we be able to draw people from the metro? And as you can see from the handouts, there's agencies from all over the state that actually come to Annandale to use the facility. The other thing that I'd like to, you know, stress is we can go to ranges out in the gravel pits or wherever we're going to shoot for law enforcement, but the bottom line is the shoot house allows the officers to go through and do room clearing exercises and take them to that next level. It's climate controlled, so when the agency calls last minute, it's 30 below out and they've got a team of 30 people that need to train the next day, they can also come out and use the facility to keep their scheduled training. The other thing is low light. Officers, I've been a police officer for 22 years, trainer since 93, and there isn't a lot of areas where you can train and do room clearing with low light. So that's been a huge plus. Last thing is, again, just thinking of how economical it is. With budgets the way they are, agencies can't afford to send people to a lot of the out-of-state training with room and board. This way they can send people right to Annandale and run classes at about $100 a day per officer. So.
Representative Erdahl, welcome to the committee. Would you like
thank
to
you.
Add anything to that?
Yes, thank
testimony?
You, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I was elevator challenged coming down here today.
We also have stairs here at the state office building, Representative Erdahl.
Just perhaps reiterating just a little bit here, this is something that we have been proposing over the years. It actually was in the bonding bill 1 year and didn't make the final cut, but it is an important project. And the Capital Investment Committee has toured this site in the past and again did see fit once to put it in the bill. We're seeking $164,000 in bond proceeds to design, construct, furnish, and equip improvements to the Annandale Technical Training Center. And as you may know, specific purposes for the funds include improving the indoor live fire shootouts, installation of a steel breaching door, addition of a moving target system for the indoor and outdoor ranges, and construction of a 40-foot rappelling tower. Now, I think it's important to note once again that there are only two shoot houses in the state of Minnesota that provide this service, one at Camp Ripley and the other in Annandale. And again, emphasizing that this is an existing training center and shoot house that serves a wide area, including many metro area law enforcement departments. The point is that Annandale already has a facility. It performs a valuable service. It just needs some updating at a relatively modest cost, and I urge us to maximize what we already have.
Are there any questions from members of the committee? I have a quick question, Chief. When these other police departments use the facility, are they do they pay a fee to do that?
They do, and the fee is $450 a day for a rental, okay. And that's anywhere from 8 to 12 hours.
So we're getting good Wisconsin taxpayers' funds as well, so I like to see that.
We are.
In South Dakota. Good. Yeah. Any other questions from members of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilty.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to kind of follow up on that, Chief Herr, what are the gross revenues that this facility generates?
The gross revenues right now are about $20,000. The expenses that we're looking at are about $18,000 a year, and with rentals being down, it's about we're only making about $2,000 to $3,000 a year.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Well, thank you for your testimony, and we'll move on to the next bonding request, but we have a few housekeeping issues here. Representative Kreisel moves the minutes from, let's see, that was Thursday, January 26th, and moves that they be approved. Any discussion? Okay. Minutes are approved. Oh, we should vote that, shouldn't we?
I just want to know if he really read them.
Well, I read them. Representative,
I read them on the elevator.
So, there being no discussion, we should vote on that. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you, Representative Gaultier, for not opposing them. Now the minutes have been approved. And also, Representative Doubt has joined our committee. So, Representative Doubt, just a reminder that we are a very timely committee, and we do expect our members to be here on time. But you did get today off. For that. Except
thank
for
you,
members
Mr.
of the
Chairman.
Minority who have a pass.
Chairman, are we taking a roll call for who's present?
We should take a roll call as well. Representative Gaultieri, maybe you should chair the committee.
No.
We should take a roll call vote.
I mean, Mr. Chairman Sparty. Cornish would be.
Vice accepted. Chairman Woodard?
Here.
Representative Mullery?
Here.
Representative Doubt?
Here.
Representative Gaultier?
Here.
Representative Grunhagen?
Here.
Representative Hilty?
Oh, yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
Here.
Representative Kiefer? Representative Kreisel?
Here.
Representative Leidiger?
Here.
Representative McDonald?
I'm all here.
Representative Moran?
Here.
Representative Nornes?
Here.
Representative Slocum?
Present.
Okay. Having a quorum. Let's see. Next, we have Ortonville Emergency Operations Center. Representative Falk. I don't see him. We also have Jason Ward from Ortonville Police Chief. Chief, if you could state your name for the record, please, and start your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I am here presenting House File 788. It's for a bonding request for an emergency operations center for the city of Ortonville. I have two guests here. I have Chief Mork from the Ortonville Police Department and Council Member Steve Berkner from the Ortonville City Council, and they are much more eloquent in their statements than I am, so I will give them the full entirety of my time.
Thank you, Representative Paul. Go ahead, Chief.
My name is Chief Mork, City of Ortonville. Thank you, Chair and committee members. We are asking for a $3 million bond to house an emergency operations center in the city of Ortonville in Big Stone County. We are a small agency in western Minnesota with
Our current buildings are inadequate, very old, as you can see in some of the pictures that we've outlived our useful life of these buildings. Our current police department is over 30 years old, was currently used to be as a hospital clinic, many small rooms, outdated heating and plumbing and windows. Our fire hall was originally built as a Studebaker garage. Some of our concerns there are we're parking fire trucks, three trucks deep. We've had the occasion a few times where our initial truck has not started, which has then locked our other trucks in the building to safely respond to fire emergencies, car accidents. Some of the other problems we've had down there is we have no storage within the fire hall. We're currently leaving a truck outside where it's vulnerable, as well as paying rent in another portion of the city to house a truck. The ambulance garage used to be a beer distributor. They've had issues down there as well. It's a single garage door where they have had issues getting the ambulance out, among some roof problems. We also have been working with the emergency management within Big Stone County. They currently have communications equipment, ITV equipment, where they do not have a place to house this. This is something we'd be willing to work with them, making our emergency operations center utilized as a county facility as well. Have met with our space needs, where they've presented us the what we're looking for, and is the reason we've contacted Representative Falk to be where we are today. Councilman Berkner can provide a little bit more on our other needs as well.
My name is Steve Burke. I'm a city council member of the city of Ortonville. I'm in my second term. What Jason has spoken about, what we've kind of run into over the years, especially in a smaller communities and one in western Minnesota, is our population base has been shrinking. Some of our tax base has been shrinking and those types of things, is that the struggle that we have coming up with housing, emergency management, and those types of things. Right now, we're presently spread over three different buildings throughout the community. I think Jason made reference to the Studebaker garage. When's the last time you heard of the Studebaker name? I mean, the last time that building was used for its original intent, that name was around. What we've identified is we've got about $64,000 in redundant expenses because of the multiple locations that we have. And if we try to fund a center on our own with a 20-year bond or something like that, we can easily come up with $500,000, $600,000, but we can't make that jump. Big Stone County, there again, we're a county of about 6,000 people. The community is 1,800 people. One of the things you have to take a look at with the city of Ortonville is our geographical location. We're literally a half a mile to a mile north of Lacaparle County. When we respond to different emergencies, our fire department, the ambulance, and often the police department is responding outside of those boundaries of our community and of our county. We also happen to be in a location where we're against the South Dakota border. Big Stone City, South Dakota is a half a mile away. At times, through mutual aid requests, we're responding to different things outside of that. So even though we're a smaller community, 1,800 people, we're actually serving an emergency response area that's probably four or five times that in population. So we have a lot of different issues that we have to deal with in the city of Ortonville, and one way of helping ourselves out, helping the community, and helping the county members in the state of Minnesota, and even some South Dakota members actually, is to come up with a project like this. It also becomes a fundamental pride for the community. There's training things that go on. I think if you read some of your paperwork there, the ambulance service in town, they host different workshops throughout the year where they're bringing in people from outside the area not necessarily Minnesota, sometimes South Dakota, to attend different training shops and those types of things. So we'd really like your thoughts and hopefully that you can help fund something like this.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. Are there any questions from members of the committee? President Gaultier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the city of Ortonville or is the county going to be appropriating any funds to match the request here?
Mr. Burke?
Thank you. We've had some conversation with the county commissioners. That type of thing is on the table at all times. I think it's kind of that cart before the horse type thing. We sometimes have to sit down and say that we have a serious offer, something they want to that they want to look into. The Sheriff's Department in Big Stone County is in probably the same dire situation we're in. They have no more space. They're spread out all over the county, all over the city of Ortonville for their needs. In fact, I think we share some space with them at the police department now for their water response and a winter response vehicle that we store. So there's a lot of things that could be consolidated, but there again, that's up to the commissioners in Big Stone County if we can go forward with that. Some of the discussions have been on that level of having a area-wide emergency, you know, operations center, but of course we have to get a lot of people on the same plate then.
Representative Gaultier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So at this point, the county isn't willing to match and the city isn't?
Mr. Burke?
We've had some discussion with them. I'm just not at liberty to, you know, we haven't gone forward with those discussions until we get kind of a direction maybe from the state a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Chair. Representative Gaultier and I are thinking along the same lines. I don't know if that's good or if that's scary. Yeah. But I'm sorry, your name wasn't listed here.
Steve Berker.
Steve? That's one of the questions I had, too, was is there any local match or consideration? You know, the previous request we had serves a statewide area. This serves a specific area. And if the county or city are looking, if I remember right from your testimony, or what was said, there was $64,000 of possible savings?
Well, in redundant expenses, yes. That is what we run into. This is just simple math, going through it very quickly. Those types of things we can come across, and I think the county has similar expenses there. Again, it's hard for me to speak for the county.
Okay.
Mr. Hagen?
Yeah, I guess I would say, and then there was something about $500,000 to $600,000?
If.
Mr. Berger?
Excuse me. By talking to the chief financial officer with the city, we identified that about half of that $64,000 would be probably an immediate savings that could potentially fund about $500,000 over 20 years, that savings. So there is some savings that we could put toward a, you know, matching different requests that the state might have.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would just, you know, my initial conclusion is we're facing structural deficits here at the state. Our budgets are tight. We've made reductions all over. I guess there's areas all over the state that I'm sure, especially the rural area, that are a similar situation, low tax base, struggling financially. I hear that in my district and all over. I guess my initial thought is I'd like to see a proposal where local people are willing to step up to some degree to help fund some of this. Otherwise, I have reservations about supporting it. It's just initial thought. So, thank you,
Mr. Burton.
Okay. And I would agree. I think that to challenge Big Stone County and the city of Ortonville and its residents to meet that obligations, I don't think anyone reasonably would expect 100%, you know, this be funded outside of our area.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for your councilman. A referendum, is that out of the question for your city for the structure of this facility?
Mr. Bergner?
Not necessarily. We just recently finished a $21 million expansion to our local hospital. We've tied up some of our enterprise bonding capability. We're actually reviewing some of the potential for us to do additional bonding and whether it's a general obligation or a revenue or beyond a revenue bond. We're getting close to the answers of that. In fact, with just our first meeting of the year, we were meeting with representatives to help us figure that out.
Representative McDonald?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. By the looks of the testimony, the material that you sent us, it desperately needs, it seems, a new building. We went through that same scenario in the city of Delano, in which we had a referendum for our new fire barn, or a firehouse, rather. The chief doesn't like me to call it a barn. But how many calls do you have? Do you have the numbers on how many calls you have for the ambulance service, for the fire and rescue, first responders, and police? I'm just curious as to how busy this new facility would be. And I do agree somewhat on the lines of Representative Grunhagen. These are tough economic times, and I think it would be important that the county, because this would serve the county as well, and the city would help up the ante on their facility. And then I'll follow it up and end with the question of the county probably has a contract with the city if you guys are responding to fire and rescue outside the city. And then in that case, have you looked at possible fees increase to the county to help facilitate pay for this new facility?
All right.
I would probably yield.
Yeah, Chief Moore, do you want to take that one?
I can take that one. I don't have the numbers for you. I mean, that's something I can definitely provide to you. I know on the, I'm also a fireman as well for our community. I know we've just began talking about the increases in our fire response. You know, but at that point, that was this is our initial groundwork. I mean, we're asking the state, you know, and then with everything else coming on board, you know, to see what we can fund from different spots to make this happen.
Representative McDonald, or do you have a follow-up question?
No, thank you, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fall?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think it's important, once again, to stress the regional significance of this project, because if we're looking at another major city, and when we talk about major city being more than 1,800 people, you have to go some distance to find a city of that size. Additionally, I understand the difficult position the city is in, because we want them to realize some of the costs, and I think that some of that cost is realized in the savings from getting away from the three facilities. They could put that towards matching dollars for this facility, but until you've made the initial investment or the step forward to guarantee that this is going to be built, you cannot realize those savings, because you're winding down the other three facilities. You see kind of how the difficulty exists there. And so I do feel strongly that this is something that needs to be done, because the facilities, as the pictures allude to, are very inadequate. And I think it's really a testament to the strength and the character of the people who work there that we really have had very good services provided, even with maybe subpar facilities. And so they've done a very good job. But we're getting to the point where we're stretching the facilities beyond what they can really handle. I think just the examples of, too, when you've got three fire engines lined up and the front one doesn't start and you can't get the two out behind, that's a problem. Or similar case with there being one door for the ambulance shed, and if one of the ambulances is not able to start, you can't get the other one out. And so we've got some real issues that maybe these facilities worked 50 years ago, but now they're to a point where they're really just in very tough shape of disrepair. And so I do agree, and I think that my colleagues here do acknowledge the fact that there's going to have to be some local dollars put forward, but we're trying to get the initial kind of dollars put on the table as what the state could do and figure out how to make this work. And we understand that we have to go and look at the best fiscal health of the state, but we look at funding a lot of regional projects, and I think this is one that really the merits speak very highly of the need for the project.
Representative Nornes.
Mr. Chair, I guess just one question, a clarifying question. Is the $3 million request, is that the total cost of this project? I haven't heard any number as far as what the total project would cost.
Representative Falk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nornes, under the, there was a study put together, and there are different cost scenarios. And the likely cost scenario is $3 million. A high expectation, I think, is a little bit more than $3.2 million. And so as different things are added, if there's to be the integration of, like, the ITV system, which would be part of the county's emergency operation service, that may have additional costs because you're adding additional functionality to the facility. So part of that is still being flushed out, because this is for the acquisition of the site, the pre-design, and the construction of the facility. Perhaps Chief Mork or Council Member Berkner here could speak a little bit to that as well.
Chief Mork? Could you raise your head first? I'm going to call on you first.
The $3 million number came about from that space needs survey. The study was put together in 2010 stating, based on what the police, fire, and ambulance requirements were and the sites that we were currently looking at that point, they put together 2.6 to 3 million, just a hair over $3 million is what they said we would need to build a facility like that.
Representative Nornes?
No, that's fine, thanks.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I'm not sure if the committee was presented with this study, but if they would, if the committee would like it, I can get a copy presented to the members.
Yeah, if you can grab a hold of that. Is it? I don't think it's the one we're speaking of is not in the packet, correct?
This one?
I believe it is there.
Okay, it is in the packet. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for the reason.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess just to maybe summarize and reiterate what I think you've heard from many of us is that I'm completely convinced that the city provides a fantastic service and have been doing a wonderful job. But across the state, we're going to get requests for many, many bonding projects. And you kind of are throwing back here, well, if you get this, then we're going to have commitment. I think most importantly is what we're looking for is a commitment from the local first to say, here's what we're committed to show that we have skin in the game, that it is this important to the community, to the county. I would suggest that that's very, very important when you're coming to ask for these bonding requests is to say, this is what we'll provide. Can the state back us up here and provide significant funding for this? Not, like I say, completely believe in the project and the service. You're doing a wonderful job. But that's what we're up against as we sit here for the next 8 weeks is going to be requests like this. So I think it's just very important that the commitment is shown.
Thank you for your testimony. Did you want any response to that, or are we? No. Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony and appreciate your attendance today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Appreciate your time.
Next up, we have Hennepin County 911 Regional Communications Center. We've got Sheriff Stanek and Commissioner Callison. And Representative Kahn.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I am actually the author of this unintroduced bill, so that's why I come before you.
Well, it's a pleasant surprise, Representative Kahn, to have you.
Well, it's, in all of my career, I've never sat at a table at the same side as Sheriff Stanek. So it's a really exciting moment.
Excuse me. Yeah.
And here we are not on TV to capture that moment.
Really exciting moment for me. I don't know what it'll do for my re-election chances.
Representative Kahn, go ahead.
Anyway, this is Commissioner Jan Callison and Sheriff Stanek are here to explain the need and testify for this bill, and I would just like to turn it over to them for the real information on it.
Thank you, Representative Kahn, and please state your name for the record, whoever's going to go first.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to go first, I think. First off, thank you very much, and thank you for the warm introduction, Representative Kahn. It's my pleasure to be here with you. For the record, folks, my name is Rich Stanek, Sheriff in Hennepin County, and with me today, of course, is Jan Callison. She's a commissioner from Hennepin County. Together, we're going to briefly explain to you this project and why you should consider including it in your bonding proposal from this committee. Mr. Chair, members, I have a 3 or 4 PowerPoint slides. Is it up and working, Sandra? Good, good. The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office, members, is one of the largest consolidated dispatch centers in the upper Midwest. And as you know, we have a lot of talk about mergers, consolidation, regionalization of government services. Well, we're already a consolidated facility. We provide dispatch service for 19 fire departments and 23 police departments in 35 communities across Hennepin County. And in these 35 communities, when someone calls 911 from their home or mobile phone or business, it's the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office that answers. We take about 700 plus thousand phone calls annually. We're also the backbone for those cities in Hennepin County that have their own dispatch center, like Eden Prairie or Richfield, Minnetonka, Bloomington, and others. They have their own personnel answering the calls, but their system runs through ours, and we're the switch for these facilities. Mr. Chair, members, this is a regional part of the facility. The nearly 1 million people who rely on our facility for dispatch. This facility also hosts members part of the statewide armor system. We're one of six locations throughout the state that host part of this emergency radio network, and that's the interoperable 800 megahertz radio system that first responders, police, fire, EMS use statewide. And as part of this statewide system, Hennepin County hosts other dispatch centers across the state, all the region in yellow on this map. And if you reference that on the slide that you can see, I can't see it from here, but I know it's there. We also host some areas in the metro, such as Ramsey County, which isn't depicted on the map. The third slide here shows the Golden Valley facility is very old. It's even older than this photo, in fact. This photo is from 1952. This group in Hennepin County at the Golden Valley facility testing civil defense. This facility was built in 1948. The Golden Valley facility, when it opened in 1948, members, by the way, that's prior to the invention of color TV. We've done an outstanding job over many years with making do. We've expanded the building in the past, and it's not possible to do it again. An independent consultant has concluded it's not practical or entirely safe to continue operations in our aging facility. And the current facility cannot adequately protect our investment in technology. Now, for example, members, all of the cables and fiber optics require cooling, and those systems have on occasion failed. Just last summer, we had a fire in our equipment room from the heat that's generated by this technology and the cabling. Ensuring future reliability in a statewide emergency communications network, we believe, members, is a critical need for our state and for all of Hennepin County. And now that I've described the role this facility plays regionally and statewide, Hennepin County Commissioner Jan Callison, my partner here, will discuss the state funding request and the timeline needed.
Commissioner Callison, go ahead and state your name for the record. And
good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Jan Callison. I'm a member of the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners. I am here today representing our county board, which has this project among its top bonding priorities this session. As the sheriff mentioned, this is an important project to the county to ensure ongoing, reliable emergency communications. But this facility is also important to the region and to the state. That is why the legislature provided $4.7 million in the bonding bill last year for this project, and I want to thank you for that. It is also why we are here again this year, asking for $10.3 million in addition, for a total state match of $15 million towards the project cost of nearly $34 million. The county board has had this project in its capital improvement plan for nearly 10 years. This project has been reviewed by and recommended by our citizen-led capital budget task force and included for construction funding for 2012-2014. Through this process, we have reduced the overall scope and project cost while ensuring we are building a facility that meets the needs of our citizens. Although we are the local unit of government requesting this funding, it is significant to many more. Because of the data and network center functions of this facility, this project is important to residents in Ramsey County, Carver County, Isanti County, counties in southwest Minnesota such as Lincoln and Redwood, and the Metropolitan Airports Commission, among others. In addition to the support this body has already given, we have received support for this project from 35 cities in Hennepin County. This slide will show you a more detailed breakdown of the total project cost. Note there is no cost for land acquisition, as we are building on county-owned land utilizing an existing communications tower. As I said before, the total cost is $34 million. The next slide summarizes space program. The building would be 59,222,000 square feet, and this slide indicates how that square footage would be utilized. Here is a quick aerial shot of where the facility will be located on our site. This is in the city of Plymouth, just off County Road 6. It will be adjacent to the existing county correctional facility. And finally, to summarize, this project is ready to go. We have completed schematic design. Local funding match is in place. We are building on county-owned land using an existing tower, so there is no delay acquiring land or getting special approvals to build towers. Detailed design is underway as we speak, and we expect to break ground late in 2012. So thank you for your time. Thank you for considering this project as you put forward public safety bonding requests, and I'm happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed in your slides that you showed it was part of your capital improvement plan, so I'm wondering how many years has this been in your plan, and then how much have you set aside for this specific plan?
We've been working on it for 10 years. Thank you, Representative. It's been in the capital budget for the past several years, I believe. I've only been on the board for 4 years, so 6 years, Sandra tells me. And we have set aside the match that it would take for this project.
Representative McDonald?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have the amount that you've been putting in annually?
Right.
And what is that amount?
Well, the $15 million is the county match. Actually, a little bit more than $15 million.
Representative McDonald?
Mr. Chairman, Jim, one more question. Thank you. And then just in one of your slides, it says you have the 35 cities has their approval.
Right.
So have they approved any funding as well?
We haven't asked
Commissioner?
Them. I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead. Chair. No problem.
We haven't asked them for additional funding. Those cities already are part of our network in Hennepin County. We pay for this through property tax. What we do hope with this facility is to be able to include other cities in Hennepin County that are not part of our system, our dispatch system right now. And we haven't resolved issues around whether there would be a request from them for payment. But this is part of our property tax in Hennepin County.
Representative McDonald.
Very good. Thank you.
Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, how many, I'm curious on how this ranks with the other county bonding requests you might have out there, and we don't see them all. I just kind of wanted to get an understanding of where this fits in the county's priority list to start with.
Mr. Chair, we haven't ranked those requests. This is public safety. It's important for Hennepin County. We have a couple of other requests as well, like mostly related to transportation, but this is significant for us.
Representative Leidiger?
And then I just wanted to be clear. Did I hear that the county's matching funds is $15 million? Did I hear that?
Well, the project is $34 million. The total request from the state of Minnesota is $15 million, so we'd be looking more in the range of $20 million from the county.
Okay.
Representative Leidiger?
That's it. Thank you.
No further questions from members. Thank you for attending today, and thank you, Sheriff and Commissioner and Representative Kahn.
Thank you. Chair members, thank you. All right. Thanks.
Next up, we have the Arrowhead Regional Correctional Center, and we have Representative Moline. Representative Moline, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
While we work through the IT difficulties there, just a reminder to members who are late that there will be a memorandum passed out to all members after we've heard from the last bonding testifier, and you will be able to recommend or not recommend which one of the bonding proposals that you like, and then we will discuss that on Wednesday's committee hearing. Representative Moline, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here on behalf of the Arrowhead Regional Correction Center, which is actually a 3,200-acre facility that's physically located in my legislative district, but actually serves a 5-county area in northeastern Minnesota. And I have with me here today Kay Arola, the executive director of Northeast Regional Correction Center, and Tony Mancuso, the St. Louis County property management director. So I will turn the testimony over to them.
Okay. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Kay Arola. I'm the executive director of Arrowhead Regional Corrections.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms.
Mr. Chair, members. We are here this morning asking for the state to consider an appropriation for the Northeast Regional Correction Center in the amount of $737,500. And although this is, in scale-wise, a relatively modest request, this will have a big impact on the Northeast region of the state. Northeast Regional Correction Center is a jail. It is an adult correctional facility located about 15 miles north of Duluth in Saginaw, Minnesota. and this appropriation would be used to improve dilapidated and aging infrastructure at that facility. We believe that this request really hits three key elements. And the first is that it would have statewide and regional impact. The second is that this is an investment in a facility and programming that has a proven track record. This facility has demonstrated positive outcomes. And lastly, it is a project that we know is positioned to have a great return on investment in energy savings. So first, as to statewide and regional impact, the Northeast Regional Correction Center is a 150-bed correctional facility for adult men. It is owned and operated by Arrowhead Regional Corrections, and Arrowhead Regional Corrections is a Community Corrections Act agency that was formed under a joint powers agreement in 1976 between the five counties that make up the Arrowhead region. Those counties are St. Louis County, Carlton County, Lake County, Cook County, and Coochitching County. Those five counties have been working collaboratively and cooperating to provide all correction services to that region for over 36 years. In addition to NERC, they also own and operate a juvenile detention facility. We own and operate a juvenile treatment facility, and we provide all of the probation services to those five counties. Those five counties have committed to a match. There's a board resolution dated July of 2011 committing that they will match the state appropriations. And so the total value of this project will be in the range of $1.4, $1.5 million. These 150 beds are critically needed in this region of the state. As many of you may be aware, in most of the state of Minnesota, county jails are empty. They are closing wings of jails and closing whole facilities. We don't know the reason why, but in our region of the state, we have jail crowding issues. In two of our counties, St. Louis County and Carlton County, they are boarding out prisoners every day at a very high cost to the counties. So these 150 beds certainly are needed in that area. The impact of the state is this, that if we continue to do the effective work that is done at the Northeast Regional Correction Center, these are men who do not end up in the state prison system and the responsibility of the state. NERC. Northeast Regional Correction Center is a very unique facility. It is a workhouse that works. It is housed on 3,200 acres, and more accurately, we are a work farm that works. We farm that acreage. We produce hay, barley, and alfalfa that we use to for our livestock and then sell the excess. We grow all forms of vegetables, corn, carrots, pumpkins, beans, potatoes, lots of potatoes. We raise pigs, turkeys, and chickens. And what we produce, we use to feed the 150 men that are housed there. Last year, we had just under 550 men serve their sentence at the Northeast Regional Correction Center. When a man enters the facility, he is assigned to a work crew. This is not a corrections facility where they sit and watch TV. They are assigned and expected to do labor while they are there. And because we are a farm operation, a lot of the men end up working on the farm. So they do planting, weeding, the harvesting. They help raise the animals. They even run some of the equipment if they have any skill in that area. We also have a certified slaughterhouse. Some of the men work in the slaughterhouse and learn how to process meat. We have a kitchen crew that then prepares the food for the men on grounds. We have a wood crew. Some of the acreage, we harvest timber, and so they go out and cut and limb and stack wood. We have a mechanic on site, so some of the men work in the garage and keep the equipment running and the mechanics. They do all of our building and grounds maintenance. We know that the work crew strategy teaches them valuable soft job skills, things like showing up on time, answering to a boss, getting along with coworkers, taking pride in your work. But these are men who have committed crimes. So in addition to that, we also have really very sound correctional programming on site. We offer chemical dependency programming, an outstanding school program, education where men can get their GED or their high school equivalent, mental health resources. And what we have found is when we use both of those strategies, correctional programming and a work-proof philosophy, that we are getting outstanding results. We know that 83% of the men that serve their sentence at the Northeast Regional Correction Center do not commit new felonies for 3 years from the time of discharge. When that's compared to a statewide number of the incarcerated, general incarcerated population in Minnesota, that number is about 63%. So our outcomes are better than the state average, and again, those are men then that are not ending up being the responsibility of the state. Some of the specific details of this project, I'm going to ask Mr. Mancuso to cover for you as to the age and the dire need of the facilities.
Mr. Mancuso, please state your name for the record.
Tony Mancuso, property manager for St. Louis County. Chairman, committee, this is a WPA facility built in the 30s, so it's even older than the Hennepin County facility. So we're excited about this. Building issues are probably boring to most people, but we're pretty excited about this one. I think we could really do great things. This is a great project. Most of the building systems are 40-plus years old. That includes all of the plumbing, the boilers, all of the infrastructure therein. Very old. They've kept it alive with duct tape and baling wire for quite a while. It's on its last leg. They've done a great job of keeping it alive. This project, we have the boiler replacement, which will be a biomass boiler with gas on the side as a backup. Plumbing upgrades, hot water heaters, domestic hot water heaters, windows and energy management systems. We estimate that this will reduce the energy consumption of this, the main facility, by 50%. So if we go to the next slide, you can just get maybe a few peeks at how old this equipment really is. They found Jimmy Hoffa underneath this piece of equipment. The next one is an old wood chip boiler. The yellow and green piece of equipment there is actually an auger that augers the wood chips, and they fall into that boiler and then they burn, and that's how archaic this system is. And you can see that, as Kay pointed out, there was a live creamery and a dairy barn, and there was a lot of stuff there, and all of these infrastructure still runs underground from this main boiler system, and it's very aged, uninsulated lines that run underground. This all of this infrastructure is part of our future project to do up there. There's no asbestos in that picture, so pay no mind to that. The laundry facility is another part of the project that we need to move. The laundry is in the old creamery building, and we need to move that down to the main facility where the laundry is generated. The work crews have to go up there and physically haul the stuff back and forth. We prioritize this project on life safety and code compliance, deferred maintenance and repairs, and energy efficiency. The real good news is that the infrastructure of the main building, of which this project we're asking for matching funding for, is in very fine structural condition. I think with the WPA, when they build stuff out of solid concrete, you could probably bomb the thing and it wouldn't move. So, but everything inside of it is in tough shape. So I think we got a good base to go with on this. So this project is an infrastructure, and it's going to leapfrog the county boards that are associated with the group. We're going to use this to jumpstart them to keep going forward on this. This is really just basically the first phase, and we do have it shovel ready. I've got the engineering design already done, and as Kay pointed out, the all of the associated counties have committed to match the dollars herein, and it's a very modest request, $737,500. Nice even number to work with, so thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mancuso, and you probably started your presentation with the fact you found Jimmy Hoffa. That would be probably a good way to start. Any questions for members? Representative McDonald, of course.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do like your plan and your proposal. However, one comment, I have no sympathy for the men who have to haul laundry from one room to the other, one building to the other. I have to go up three flights of stairs with mine. But it has merit, your project, and I like it. Thanks for bringing it to us.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Ms. Arola, I guess. What is your current daily population relative to your capacity right now at that facility?
Average daily population,
Mr. Roll,
at Nurse is running approximately 130.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, your capacity is
what? Mr. Roll.
Mr. Chair, Representative, 130.
Representative Johnson. Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, what is your typical individual? What's the offenses? Where are they coming from, and how long are they typically staying?
Mr. Chair,
Ms. Roll.
Representative, the typical offenders are there for a range of offenses, and that can be for drug offenses, DWIs, assault. They typically, by statute, serve local time for any sentence that is less than a year and a day. We have had, on occasion, with consecutive sentences, men who have been there up to 2 years.
Representative Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, no further questions. I'm sure Representative Grunhagen would like to talk to you a little bit about gardening and corrections, right? Since he had a bill on this last session.
I'm explaining myself.
We all appreciate that, Representative Grunhagen. Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you, Representative Moline.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next up, we have the Marshall Emergency Response and Industrial Training Center. Representative Swidzinski. Representative Swidzinski,
yes, go ahead. How are you doing today, Mr. Chair? Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for asking.
Yes. My name is Chris Swidzinski. Mm-hmm. I represent Lyon County and Redwood County in southwest Minnesota. I want to introduce Rob Yates. He was the Director of Public Safety in the City of Marshall. He'll be talking about this project after I am done. So the Merit Center is the project in front of you. It's a Tier 2 regional training center. It is a 53-acre state-of-the-art regional fire and rescue training facility located in the city of Marshall, Minnesota. The facility is owned by the city of Marshall and operated by the Minnesota West Community and Technical College. The Merit Center offers a wide variety of training opportunities to emergency responders as well as to private industry. Some of the background as far as the project's concerned. The new facilities proposed includes a new development of a regional public safety driving course, which features classrooms, offices, a skid pad, driver training simulators, and a handgun shooting range. And regionally, the law enforcement emergency vehicle operations course training is conducted on public and private parking lots, dirt lots, in some cases airport runways. These options do not provide real-world training, but rather meet regulated requirements. And with that, the project, we're looking for about $2.5 million. And I'm going to ask Rob to please speak on the project.
Mr. Yant, please state your name for the record.
Yes, Rob Yant. I'm the Public Safety Director for the City of Marshall. And thank you, Mr. Chair and representatives. Appreciate this chance to talk about our training facility. We did a business strategic plan about 5 years ago to look for growth for the facility, and the common need we found, you know, firemen would like to burn things, police would like to shoot, and so on, but the common thing that everyone had, together with a private sector and issues with their new drivers, was having an opportunity to drive except on city streets. My department, our police department, does our emergency response training at our local university parking lot, where you can get up to 40, maybe 45 miles an hour before you got a curb coming your way. So that's not real realistic. Our fire department does its training on the local in the gravel parking lot of the Merritt Center. So we have this proposed to build out. We had requested funding, comparable funding, 2 years ago, and we did get an award of $1 million, and the land has been purchased for the facility, which is across the existing site, which is the 53 acres. So the land has been secured, but basically everything else is in need to be set up. We have been also approved to go to a local vote for hospitality and sales tax with voters in partnership with amateur sports commission development for our region. I can step you through the handout just a little bit, and then if you have questions, feel free to ask. We have a city commission that oversees the facility, and it's diverse in the occupations that people represent. We also have public safety and industrial representatives, because that's an important partnership. We have been developing the site since the late 90s, and were originally identified in the public safety commissioner's siting report as one of 8 recommended tier 2 facilities, and have worked on developing that. Our goal is economic growth. We talked about on the next one, and we've concentrated on safety and technical training growth. We've got earlier funding for a wind training prop that is just completed, that's going to be for first responders and the wind industry to get hands-on safe training in a non-operating tower. That's the sort of thing we're looking at. We're also looking at attracting new customers to come to Marshall and provide economic development for our customers, together with real-world training, and then also expand the jobs that are being offered. Our primary partner is going to be Minnesota West Technical and Community College, and they've been a strong partner, although our facility is open to others to use. The south end of our campus, for instance, is Minnesota Municipal Utilities Association. So we look for partnerships wherever we can. In terms of looking at the budget, we've got the land acquisition identified at $750,000. That's pretty real figure. We have land costs, but we also have some wetland development that's part of it. So that's there. The driving course, it's, if you know, in terms of building roads, asphalt and concrete is expensive, and that's basically what it is. It's a little road. Driving office, it's a fairly limited office, but we're looking at 3 simulators in there, a small classroom and an office utility area. Skid pad, big concrete pad, that's one of the things that people will be able to do is emergency braking and turning, and that's a critical skill, especially if you're looking at your fire personnel driving big heavy rigs or big rig semi-drivers. Driving simulator, we're actually looking at 3 separate simulators. One is a professional driving simulator that can deal with from semi-fire trucks down to passenger cars, squad cars. And in between, a 16 station driver's ed type of simulator, because we're strongly looking at offering enhanced skills for new drivers. We've unfortunately had a high number of young drivers who have been killed within the last 5 years. Where most young people learn how to drive is on the streets, and you look at the rural accidents, winters in Minnesota, and it's just, you know, it's sort of a tough place to learn, and we'd like to offer a controlled opportunity for them to do that. So that's our budget. In terms of revenue, we, like I said, we've received an award of $1 million. We're asking for 2.5, and then the local match would, if approved by the voters in this next November, would provide matching funds for that. So I guess, the last page, just to show a little bit in terms of some of the explanation on the sales tax that we're looking at, again, local share. In terms of city sales tax, facility users fees, our intent is that a cash flow in terms of, again, breaking out costs with the users such as Minnesota West, and then a 1.5 city hospitality tax. And we've had, just in terms of regional support for this, so we had six surrounding larger cities in our area give us letters of support for their council's past resolution saying they supported both ours and the amateur sports project. We've had a long partnership with our Chamber of Commerce and our downtown businesses, which have been strong advocates for these, both because of the opportunities they provide and the economic development. And we've got a number of regional businesses that have provided us letters of support that in the past we've provided. So we believe we have a strong package for providing a critical service. We're sort of located remotely in Southwest, so we're not real accessible to other facilities. Again, we're looking at multidisciplinary. We've also looked at, there isn't a comparable facility in Northwest Iowa. We intend to draw from Eastern South Dakota, so we think we have a broad appeal that will actually bring business into the state. And again, it's public and private, so our goal is for the track to be busy. We've also are working on other partnerships. We've recently added our a couple of our snowmobile associations to do snowmobile training on it, looking at ATV and so forth. So our goal is to have a comprehensive vehicle safety driving facility. And again, that's not cost that would be reflected in what we're asking here. But again, our goal is to have a facility that's busy as much as possible, close to 7 days a week and probably 18 hours a day. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from members? Representative Gaultier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, could you tell me how many full-time equivalents this facility would employ?
Director, go ahead.
I'll interject on that. And we came up with the number on construction, and I can't recall what it is, but I'm thinking in terms of the construction was about 30. In terms of full-time employment, and we had this for last year for the proposal 2 years ago and didn't put it in, but it's about six, I think. Like, I mean, it's not, you know, overly intensive, but it would expand the staff.
Six good jobs.
It would be six good jobs, and it would be, again, bringing people into the region.
Representative Gaultier, go ahead.
Representative, I see your match is based on a future referendum. Is there a plan B if that fails?
Representative Swazinski.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to let Rob speak on that.
Yeah, it would be a general bonding provided by the city, as approved by the city council.
Representative Gaultier.
Mr. Chairman, what concerns me, as with the previous request earlier today that people had some reservations about, is there's nothing in the bill that obligates a local match. And I would be more comfortable if that was in there, whether it be based on sales tax and or general obligation bonds, so that there's a commitment in statute to that. So maybe you want to bring an amendment to when you get the hearing.
Sure. Mr. Chair, thank you. I will take that under consideration. So,
Just to interject,
Director.
That has been our past practice for everything we've done to provide a 50%. If you see in the budget, that is there, so you're correct. That isn't in statute.
I'm supportive.
Thank you.
Representative Nornes.
Mr. Chair, sort of along those same lines, since the vote won't be till November on the local sales tax, this is a 2013 project then at the earliest?
Correct.
Yes.
One other question.
Yeah, Representative Nornes, go ahead.
Reference to your hospitality tax, clarify, how does that factor into this project?
Director?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pazinski.
Speak on it.
Director.
Sure. Basically, it's a sales tax from our restaurants that would go towards, on a shared basis, this and our amateur sports if they're approved by the voters. So it's a small fee that would go in. One of the things we found in terms of sales, done marketing studies that have found Marshall has a very large draw in terms of general sales. 40% of our retail sales in Marshall is from people outside of the region. So we believe that's a good format for a regional project and not just our local taxpayers to fund it this way.
Mr. Chair,
you
have a Convention and Visitors Bureau then that actually is responsible for those funds?
Director?
This would, I believe, go through the city, but they collect it now for their operation. We have that in place that does go to visitors and convention, but I believe this, and again, I'm not a technical tax person, but we have that in place, and I think it would go through the city, but I might be an error on that.
Okay, thanks.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the testifier. In your presentation, you say you have regional support, so you have resolutions from the city councils and from the Chamber of Commerce and the letters from the businessmen and women. Just wondering how much financial support are they committed? And with that, I'll echo Representative Gautier's concern that if that's the case, if they're committed financially, and of course I think that's important, they should have some skin in the game, that should be a part of the bill as well, Representative, that we know that they are committed. All these projects that we heard today have great merit and are important, but unless the local folks are involved with financial obligations of themselves, I'm not in favor of them. So I think when you approach us with this recommendation and say that the businesses have resolutions, the councils, I hope that they're committed financially. And can you answer that question?
Director, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the answer would be we don't have a specific commitment. What we have is a commitment for utilization of the facility as a customer. So our intent is, again, most of the training would be done through Minnesota West, and then the funding would be locally developed. But we have strong commitments towards utilization, and that's really part of what we've wanted to have. We didn't want to build it and then not have anyone come and use it. So they haven't made a specific financial commitment beyond the strong utilization of the facility. Is that in terms of the funding, or like I said, we'd gone with a 50% from the state and then basically going through these local revenues to fund the local match.
President McDonald?
Well, just in closing, it's great to have their support and resolutions. Being a businessman and local on Main Street America and a former council member, it's easy to have a resolution and be supportive of a project. But unless you have some skin in the game and financial commitment, it's really useless to have the resolutions. Unless they know specifically that, hey, you're going to ask the state for $2.5 million, but as a businessman, as a council, we're going to increase our taxes, the property taxes, or your user fees, then there's no commitment at all. And I think this would help your case, certainly, that you show that, hey, our businessmen and councils and chambers are committed financially, more so than just we are in favor of the project.
Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is just a general question for either Representative Swedinski or Director Yan. You know, we're lay people here, we're trying to assess these requests, and I echo the comments of Representative McDonald on the surface. They seem to have some merit, and I appreciate projects where locals have some committed skin in the game. I would just reemphasize that from previous representatives' comments. But, you know, one of the things is we just had a request here for a tactical training center up in Annandale, and now this one, and I don't know if some of the same things overlap, but I guess as a layperson, based on our state's geographic area, how many training centers should we have? Where should they be located? Is there an overall plan for the state as far as efficiency, rather than just, well, this looks like a good idea, we'll do it here, should we do another one over there? And I guess as a layperson, I don't know you know, I don't have any comparison statewide or comparison from other states, what's being done.
There's been several state plans, but basically they haven't been followed. It's been that there's been local requests and local support politically, and basically it's just the general concept. But I'll tell you, and if you look at the second page, I believe it was in 2000 when requests like this were first being made, public safety did do a siting study, and it identified 8 regional centers for what they called a Tier 2. The Tier 1 would be Camp Ripley, and that would be the centralized major training facilities for public safety. Tier 2 would be regional facilities offered with the intent of being within a 2-hour drive for first responders. And then Tier 3 is actually where the most of the day-to-day training is done in your local place. You know, firearms qualification is going to be at your police station. Fire training is going to be at your fire hall. And they identified these 8 centers. Then there was a study 3 years ago, again by public safety, and it had a recommendation, and I do have copies but not with me, that made a recommendation that only the facilities that have already been funded should be funded until they're built out, just because otherwise you're diluting it with so many requests that it develops into the situation you're talking about. And the facilities at that time were Rochester, Olmsted County, Carver, Scott County, Marshall, and then Camp Ripley. So again, Carver Scott wasn't in the original plan, but it is already in existence as a fairly strong, viable facility. And those are the ones, you know, there was a fire training facility funded last year up in White Bear Lake, I believe, and so there's been some, but in terms of regional facilities coordinated through the state process, these are the 2 studies that have looked at it and what their recommendations are, and both have included Marshall as part of their plans.
Representative Guggenhagen?
Just a follow-up comment, Mr. Chair. I guess I would like, you know, evidently there's a plan out there, but it hasn't been followed. And so, I mean, comparative data is always a nice way for lay people to be able to assess a request. And I guess the other thing is, what are states of similar size? How many facilities do they have, you know, and in order to better assess this request? Because one of the things I've observed about government in general is that they have a tendency to over-duplicate their services and overlap, and therefore eventually creates inefficiencies and excessive cost to the taxpayer. I'm not saying this is the case in this particular, on this request, but without having much background in this area to assess these requests, that would be additional helpful information for me. Last thing, I do know, generally speaking, with modern day technology, that the tendency is to consolidate and reduce in government. Or that's the need, because government tends to be the last entity in a culture to consolidate, create efficiencies, and become more cost effective than what the private sector does. And that's just a general statement. So, okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And that's just a general statement. So, okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, I have just a couple of things I'd like to check out in regards to dealing with this. Representative Falk did tell me that he has an amendment for local match, so perhaps if the committee administrator could follow up on that for tomorrow.
Representative Gauthier, let me. If you don't have any questions for them,
here.
All right, let's let you guys go. Thank you, Representative Swazinski, and thank you, Director.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Gauthier, go ahead.
So I think that would be important that we would know that, so perhaps we can have some follow-up on that. And then is there a, in looking at review of the committee recommending or not recommending, is there a total fiscal amount that we have a limit on or not? No.
Yeah.
So
Representative Gauthier,
just, we could pass all of these.
There's no target.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, the form has been passed out, as Representative Gauthier said. And if you have any questions about that, let us know. It's a recommend, no recommend, and please get that back to Committee Administrator Holdquist as soon as you can. And we will discuss that on Wednesday's committee hearing. Any other questions from members? Okay. Meeting adjourned.